You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
In April this year, the federal government announced that it was going to cut funding to the Health Council of Canada. This is the body that monitors the implementation of the Canada Health Accord. It turns out we don't need to monitor the Health Accord because Stephen Harper has no plans to renew it when it expires next year. Instead, the government plans to transfer money directly to the provinces. Adrian Silnicki is National Healthcare Campaigner for the Council of Canadians, and she joins me on the line this morning from Saskatoon. Hello, Adrian.
Hello. Thanks for inviting me on your show.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Now, what is the Canada Health Accord?
At its most basic, the Health Accord is just an opportunity for the premiers and the prime minister to talk about health care in Canada and its successes, its challenges, where we could make improvements. But what we really see the Health Accord as also doing and what it's done in the past is it's been an opportunity to protect, strengthen, and expand public health care. And it does that in a couple of ways. It sets federal funding for health care, so the share of the money that the federal government gives to the provinces and territories for public health care. It recommits the premiers to the Canada Health Act, making sure that health care stays publicly administered and comprehensive and universal and portable. It sets national standards, so making sure that no matter where you live in this country, you can access the same type of care within a similar amount of time. It gives us an opportunity to expand public health care into new areas like dental or vision or pharma care, any of those services, especially home and community care, which is really, really needed in Canada right now. So it's really just an opportunity for the premiers and the federal government to be able to talk about public health care and see how we'll move forward with strengthening, protecting, and expanding it.
Is it actually a legal signed agreement?
It is. It is a legal signed agreement. Actually, it's what's committed to the Harper government to the 6% escalator that's happening right now. So the federal government is giving 6% of an escalating Canada health transfer every year to the provinces. And when you talk to the federal government about their funding of health care, they'll say that they're giving more money than any government has given before. And in real dollars, sure they are. But because of the Health Accord, they're actually mandated to do so. This is not their choice. And as we've seen, as you mentioned in your introduction, they're going to stop the Health Accord. In 2014, it expires. They're not planning on signing a new accord. Instead, they're actually planning on cutting the Canada Health Transfer so that they'll be giving $36 billion less in health care funding, which we're really concerned about.
Now, there's a very important direct relationship between the Health Accord and the Canada Health Act, which you alluded to, in that the provinces cannot break the Canada Health Act under the Health Accord. Am I right?
Well, they cannot break the Canada Health Act, and what the Health Accord does is, with that federal funding, it's an opportunity for the federal government to enforce the Canada Health Act on the premiers, because it actually allows them to withhold money from the provinces and territories if a province were to act contrary to the Act itself. So in BC, where you are in this, you have a great example with the Cambie Surgical Clinic, Dr. Brian Day's clinic, where he's been found guilty of $566,000 just in 1 month alone through a provincial audit of charging illegal user fees and extra billing. That's against the Canada Health Act. And what the federal government should be doing is punishing the province for allowing that to happen by withholding funding from the province. But of course, the Harper government has instead turned a blind eye and is not enforcing the Canada Health Act.
But the way that the Health Accord has worked in the past is, as you say, that there's a penalty for breaking the Canada Health Act, so it ensures a kind of national standard for the whole country.
That's right. That's right. But we need a federal government who's willing to enforce that.
What has the accord been able to achieve in the 10 years that it's been in place, specifically?
You mentioned the Health Council of Canada, which is an incredible research body, and we've been really fortunate to have them because they've been following along with the Health Accord and the previous accord of 2004. And what their research has shown, and they do this every year, is they look at the Health Accord and what the provinces and territories have been doing to implement the accord. And they found that following the 2004 Accord, there were benchmark services in the 2004 Accord, and those include hip, knee, and cataract surgery. There were wait times set on those, and if a province met those set wait times, they received additional funding from the federal government. If a province or territory was not able to receive that, they were supposed to not receive some of that additional funding. But after, once the Harper government came into power, the provinces and territories stopped receiving that funding. And so the Health Council of Canada shows very, very clearly that after 2004, for the first couple of years, provinces and territories were meeting their benchmarks on these wait times for hip, knee, and cataract surgery. But as we moved away from the 2004 accord with the Harper government and towards the expiry of the accord, those wait times have now grown across the board.
So given that the Harper government isn't actually using the provisions of the Health Accord, will it make a difference if it doesn't exist anymore?
Well, we're really hoping that that in the future we would have a government who would care about the Health Accord. So if we don't get one now, we're worried about what that will do for the future. We've also seen that the Health Accord was effective in a couple of other areas. So things like national pharmacare. Canada is the only country in the world that has a universal health care system that does not include prescription drugs. And we know through a research study done by Marc-André Gagnon, a professor at Carleton University, that if we were to have a national pharmacare program, we'd save $11 billion. Now, we were committed, the provinces and the federal government committed to a national pharmacare program in 2004, but when the Harper government came in, they scrapped that plan. Because of that commitment, though, the premiers have still been meeting and still been talking about it, and they're trying to do it on their own. It's not nearly as effective as if they had a federal government who was overseeing this. They won't save as much money. They're talking about a couple hundred million, which is a start, but it's certainly far from the $11 billion that we'd have with a federal government. So these accords are effective in the sense that it lets us see what's happening across the country with healthcare, who has access and who doesn't. How do we make sure that everybody has a strong, comprehensive public health care system from cradle to grave, no matter where they live in the country? And how do we move forward into new public health care innovations like community health centers or national pharmacare, any of these really great things that were happening across the country? It's an important opportunity for the federal government and the provinces and territories. But without a commitment from the federal government, we just won't have that opportunity.
So let's look at what will happen to the provision of health care across the country if the accord is not renewed. What's it going to look like?
Well, it's going to look like a patchwork system of services. So we've been seeing that in some areas it become privatized in some provinces more than others. In Newfoundland, we still have lots of public long-term care homes. About 80% of the long-term care homes are public, and the wait times to get into a long-term care home are pretty short. But if you go to Alberta, the cost for a long-term care bed is about $6,000 a month, and the wait times are much longer. So we're just seeing that some services are covered in some provinces, wait times are different in others. I'm from Nova Scotia. I know that lots of my friends work in Alberta, and they fly their parents to Alberta to have hip or knee replacement surgeries because the wait times are shorter there because they have a younger population, and they have more money to spend on healthcare than Nova Scotia does. So what we're really seeing is just this patchwork system where it really depends on where you live in this country as to what services you can get and how much they're covered. If we had an accord, we would be able to set national standards. We wouldn't have this patchwork system. We would really have that universal, comprehensive healthcare system that Canadians believe that they have, but more and more we're moving away from.
Will the provinces that aren't as wealthy actually get less funding?
Well, we're seeing that a lot of the smaller provinces will get less funding. With the changes to the Canada Health Transfer, we'll be seeing a loss of, in some provinces, billions of dollars. For BC, it'll be $5 billion. But we're also seeing that there's a disparity across the provinces with an aging population. And aging doesn't actually cost us a lot, but what we need to do is make sure that people are able to receive comprehensive services regardless of what age they are. And so we need some money to create a national strategy for home and community care. Smaller provinces, PEI or Nova Scotia, and even provinces like BC with an older population, the people there deserve to have home and community care, residential care, long-term care. But they need the funding in order to do that. And so it tends to be that they're going to be receiving the cuts like all of the other provinces, but they're also going to be dealing with a situation where they need additional monies in order to create a truly comprehensive healthcare system.
Now, Stephen Harper obviously doesn't want a new accord. Let's take a look at the provinces. What did the premiers and the territorial leaders say in July when they met in Niagara-on-the-Lake?
Sure. Well, There is a couple of things that they have that they've said throughout the years, and probably the most disappointing thing that I've heard them say was in July at the Council of the Federation. I was standing in a media scrum, and they were reporting back on the from the Health Innovation Working Group that the premiers have created. And there was a great question posed to them, which was, you know, there are 13 of you sitting around the table today, and you're talking about a national bulk purchasing program for drugs, and you're saving a couple $100 million. But if you truly wanted to create a national pharmacare program where you'd save $11 billion, who's missing from that table? Well, the answer, of course, is the federal government. We need the federal government there to create that type of national program. And instead, the premiers asked for another question. They refused to answer it. They've refused to say the name federal government and hold the federal government accountable and responsible for health care. And we believe that that's for two reasons. One, we believe that it's because without an accord, the premiers will be receiving some funding from the federal government with no strings attached. In the past, an accord, they received money, but that money came with national standards attached to it, with benchmarks attached to it. Now they're getting a blank check. They can spend that money however they see fit. The other problem that we've been hearing from some of the smaller provinces is that they're really worried about the Harper government and some of the penalties that they receive every time they speak out against them. And so the Eastern Bloc and the Atlantic really worked hard on an EI campaign, changes to employment insurance. It's a big deal, especially in fishing communities. So they spoke out about it, but they received penalties for doing so in other areas. And we've been told in meetings with the premiers that if they were to speak out against the Harper government on the changes to the Canada Health Transfer, they're really worried that they'll be penalized through the Canada Social Transfer. And so they're too afraid to speak out, which is why we need to go to Canadians and let Canadians know about these changes and have them speak out against them.
Do you think the threat to the national healthcare system is on the radar for most Canadians?
No, sadly I don't. And, you know, I think it's wonderful that you have me on your show today and that Vancouver Cooperative Radio is covering this type of topic. We're finding it hard to get the message out there because if the premiers refuse to talk about it, then the media has nothing to cover. And so we're trying to find other ways to reach out to Canadians to talk to them about the health accord because it really is very easy for them to miss it.
How can people get involved in the campaign to protect Medicare?
We're working with the Canadian Union of Public Employees, CUPE, and we've just finished a pilot campaign across the country. So we've targeted three ridings right now, one in PEI and two in BC. So we're on Vancouver Island North and in Kamloops. And we've been training people who are interested in healthcare in workshops about what the health accord is. And then once you've been trained, so it's a two-hour workshop, once you've been trained, we then go and we go door knocking. We talk to Canadians on their doorstep. We talk to them at their farmer's market or downtown. And we're giving them literature about the accord. We're going to start that. We've just piloted it. We're really pleased with our results. And so we're hoping that we'll be back in BC on April 1st, which will be just after the 2004 accord has expired. We do not have a 2014 accord. We'll be back to talk to people in BC again about the accord. And if they'd like to be involved, they can find out more information at 2014healthaccord.ca.
Great. Well, thank you so much for talking to me this morning.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
I've been speaking with Adrienne Silnicki, National Healthcare Campaigner for the Council of Canadians, and she joined me this morning from Saskatoon, and that URL, again, is 2014healthaccord.ca.